Blog Talk Radio.
Generally, the Constitution is a charter of negative liberties. Says what the states can't do to you, says what the federal government can't do to you, but it doesn't say what the federal government or the state government must do on your behalf.
On a rough road, riding high.
You didn't build that.
Through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning, further from my home.
Shut up your mouth, Obama. Shut up your mouth, Obama.
Be young, like a new moon rising, fierce.
I've got a pen.
Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.
Yes, we can.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free.
I've got a pen.
I was born free.
And I've got a phone.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Like the grandest canyon, wild, like an untamed stallion. If you can't see my heart, you must be blind.
What difference at this point does it make?
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
I've got a pen.
We have 989 days, 14 hours, 57 minutes, and 17 seconds left of the Obama nightmare. But until then, we must remain dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom regardless of the cost. Now, remember, shipmates, freedom ain't cheap, but we can afford it. It is tyranny that we cannot afford. You want to be a part of the program today? Don't be shy. 646-716-7978, or you can join the captain's chat room, and you know it as well as I do. As long as there's one stinking liberal on planet frickin' Earth, it is a very, 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 very busy news day. Well, again, as always, today is absolutely no exception. So we must lift our jib and get this freedom ship underway. Alrighty, we are officially underway and headed out to sea. Bosun mate, shift colors. Okay, a couple things. First of all, I want to thank my two guests yesterday, Nancy and Raquel. Thank you very much for showing up yesterday. You gave a lot of great information. I was drunk with all the information that you were giving out, but it was good stuff. Raquel may call in again today to discuss her new article on Benghazi. I'm always ready to talk about Benghazi. So whatever we're talking about, we'll talk about Benghazi. I don't care. So if she does call in, that will be a treat. And I must make a note. Sorry, my good friend Vito Esposito. I missed the Mamma Mia No Sharia show last night. I didn't get home until about 7:45. I was busy in a meeting. I'm trying to produce my play that I've already done in New York City, but I'm trying to make it into a film. It's about domestic violence. So the meeting ran a little bit late, but I'm sorry. I'll try to download it again today. I'm supposed to go into the city today to do a broadcast for somebody else. It's a protest about rhinos and this and that and all these people that nobody seems to want to pay attention to what is happening, and everybody just wants to just get along. Well, look, just to get along is not getting along. That's called lazy. We got to fight. I know it sucks. I know. I don't want to fight either. I would rather just simply get along, but we can't. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. So We have to give up a couple of hours and give up a couple of things that we normally would not do, but we have to do it in order to keep what we already have and to retrieve what we've already lost. And speaking of that, let's get into the scuttlebutt of the day, which is freedom of speech, which we have lost and are losing more and more and more and more every day. Now, yesterday in California, I think this was in somewhere near San Francisco or something, but if you remember, this was a couple years ago or last year or whatever, they had Cinco de Mayo, and the students weren't allowed to wear American flags on their T-shirts, and they all got suspended and sent home because they refused to take the shirt off or turn it inside out because they were offending all of the illegal aliens. Well, yesterday in California, there was a small group of protesters who were waving United States flags. Imagine that. Isn't that racist? Isn't that hateful flag? Well, they're waving it in front of a school where officials had banned the practice to avoid violence, that were threatened by the Hispanic students celebrating Cinco de Mayo. Now, here's the problem that I have. Here you have Mexican students, illegal alien students, kids that are not actual citizens of this country, to maybe no fault of their own, who knows, who cares, it's not the point. But when these Mexican students are threatening violence against Americans for waving an American flag on Cinco de Mayo, which is not a real holiday, by the way, it is not Mexican Independence Day. That's not what it is. It's a beer day. That's all it is. It's a beer day. It's a day to drink beer. Students are threatening American students for waving an American flag. Don't you think that you should kick the Mexican students out of school? I mean, I'm just saying. But no, you can't do that. They can threaten violence, and that's okay. But if you wave an American flag, well, then you've got to be kicked out of school. You are the perpetrator. God damn it. I mean, what the hell is the matter with these people? Speaking of this, here's a quote here now. What's wrong? This is from Gia Lee, whoever she is. What's wrong with these white people holding up American flags in Morgan Hill? Racist assholes. This is what she wrote. This was in Twitchy, whatever that is. I guess that's like a Hispanic version of Twitter. Send a tweet. Send a Twitchy. Oh, God. Well, this protest followed the decision by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, that school officials in a dispute, and this happened like 4 years ago, were right to suspend the First Amendment rights of students who wanted to wear U.S. flag-themed shirts on Cinco de Mayo. So the schools were in the right to block somebody's First Amendment rights. Now, I'm looking in this Constitution again. I'm looking at it right here. I've got the First Amendment right in front of me, and I don't see anywhere where it says a school has the right to restrict First Amendment rights so it does not offend illegal alien students on Cinco de Mayo. I don't see that in my Constitution. If somebody can find that in the Constitution, please call me up and tell me where it is. I'd really like to see it. Well, I guess I'm a goddamned idiot. I'm just making things up. I'm a frickin' racist because I want to wave my American flag. Well, if that makes me a racist, so goddamn be it. I'm the biggest frickin' racist in this entire world. And I'm glad to be one. God damn it. The Ninth Circuit's ruling that the American flag is a symbol of racial animus. How the hell is the American flag a symbol of racial animus? How is that? Somebody's got to explain that one to me. I don't get it. I'm stupid. I'm a racist. The court's rationale behind this ruling was essentially that it's not safe. It's not safe to display the American flag. Imagine that, not safe to display the American flag. Not safe to display an American flag in an American public school for the fear of causing offense and disruption. Now, the American flag is offensive and disruptive? Mexican students allegedly had threatened violence because of those shirts, and school officials consequently suspended the right of other students to wear the American flag. Imagine that. Illegal aliens come over here, get offended by us waving our flag, but it's okay for them to wave their flag. Well, if you want to wave your flag, well, then why don't you go back to your country? You want to stay here? Fine. We don't care. You're welcome. Everybody's welcome in the United States. We all came from somewhere, including American Indian. And you Mexicans might want to understand something. You might want to take a couple of minutes and learn some frickin' history. Learn the history of your own people. When you came over here from Spain, I might add that you wiped out every goddamn indigenous tribe from Central America all the way up to Canada. Let me tell you something. The Spanish wiped out more American Indians than the white man. Let's put that down. That's the facts. Blame us. This is your land? What makes it your land? Oh, that's right, because you came over and you conquered and you killed all the Aztecs. You killed all the indigenous tribes so you could take over Mexico. And you did the same in New Mexico and California and all the way up to Canada. So don't sit here and tell me that the white man is the racist and this is your country, because it's not! It's all of our country. Learn to appreciate it or get the hell out. I'm sick and tired of this crap. Here's another quote. The Gilroy Morgan Hill Patriots, that's the people that were out waving an American flag. These are the racists. Bunch of racist dickheads. This is what they wrote. These are these people. These people talk about hate speech. We're calling people assholes and dickheads because they're waving the American flag. I'm sorry, how is that not hate speech? Please, somebody's got to explain this to me. I think they might be part owners of the L.A. Clippers. This is an idiot. Here's another one. Hey, folks in Morgan Hill, you have some racist neighbors. You need to check out those Tea Party assholes. This is by Al Bondigas, or whatever his name is. Well, it looks like we've got Raquel on the line. Hold on here, Raquel. I've got to finish this here, and then I'll get right back to you. I promise you. I'm not going to leave you alone. Here's another one. Now, I hate to say the F word, but we're going to say it here anyway. Fuck your American flag, racist ass fucks. This is what they write. And they blame us for hate speech. For saying, God bless America. Freedom for all. That's hate speech. But fuck your American flag and racist ass fucks, that's not hate speech. Okay. This is from Ivan Mora. I'll always have pride with my Mexican flag, but not the American one. Well, then go back to Mexico! Now, how can we possibly have a legitimate attorney general ignore this? Huh? How can a legitimate president ignore this? How can a legitimate citizen ignore this? That's where it counts. It's the little guy. It's the citizen. It's you. It's me. That's the ones who cannot ignore this any longer. We're the ones being affected by it. We need to stop ignoring this. And this is just this is just ridiculous. I am just outraged. I had to stop drinking coffee this morning because I knew it. If I had one more cup of coffee and I was going to talk about this, I knew I was going to have a stroke. And one of these days, I swear to God, I'm going to have a stroke. You're going to hear nothing but dead air because I'm going to be dead. All right, before I get into anything more here, let's go to the line. Hello, Raquel. This is the captain. How are you doing this morning?
Hi, Captain. I was doing just fine until I just realized that the 19th Circuit ruled that you can't wear an American flag shirt to school.
I know. Isn't that wonderful news? Because that American flag is so racist, and we're all such haters because we're white. You know how that is.
I'm in such a total state of shock right now. My body is shaking.
I literally can't even believe that they're
going to not allow students to wear. What about the American flag that's posted at every public school? I know any Catholic school that I've been to or my children have been to, they have that American flag up as well.
Well, every school that I went to, they had a big, large flagpole right out in front of the school, and it was raised every morning and brought down every afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and once in a while you got a chance to do it, you know? It was really exciting.
I'm wondering what's next with the military. I mean, this president, what he's doing to this military is just absolutely atrocious. You know that the Navy, my beloved Navy, the Navy SEALs are no longer allowed to wear the Navy Jack on their uniforms in combat. I guess it might offend the Taliban. I don't know. But the Navy Jack is don't tread on me. They're not allowed to wear that on their uniforms now. So what's going to happen with the American flag that's being flown on these ships? Do we have to take the American flag off of our ships now because we might offend our enemies?
I think it's crazy. I just don't even get it at all. It doesn't make any sense at all to me.
Well, look, people wave Italian flags and they wave on Columbus Day. They wave Mexican flags on Cinco de Mayo. They wave the Irish flags on St. Paddy's Day. And nobody seems to have a problem. But when you wave the American flag, oh, my God, everybody's up in arms.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense because, you know, a sense of patriotism, that's something, you know, that's an international norm. I mean, this is where you're from. This is where you're born. I mean, I like to say I'm a New Yorker because that's where I'm from and that's where I can relate to. And I like to say I'm an American because I was born in America, first generation.
Right.
Very proud of being born in America. In fact, can I tell you something real quick? My father, who escaped communist Cuba and was lucky enough to come to America as a young man, he told me to kiss the ground I walk on because I was born in a country that is free. Yep. My father had a replica of the United States Constitution framed on my living room wall. Because, the thing is that when people, you know, are brought up in freedom, and we're not perfect. You know, you and I both know, listeners know that. Nobody is perfect.
No.
But we this is an exceptional country. And the Bill of Rights is just exceptional, and we try, okay, and we try. But the people, you know, we need the people to help fight, help keep these ideals afloat. But when you have individuals that really know what communism is or totalitarianism or, Nazism, you know, anybody who has any inkling of what type of society that really is, well, they love America.
Well, that's my family. Did you ever see Fiddler on the Roof?
I think I did on Broadway, actually.
Okay. Well, at the end, you know, the Cossacks are kicking everybody out, all the Jews. Well, that was my family. My family was over in what they call White Russia, which was somewhere in between, Poland and Germany and over there. And it was occupied by the Russians. And they weren't just persecuting the Jews. They were persecuting the Germans as well. Well, my family was over there, and a lot of their food that you see, you know, those knishes that you see in New York? Okay, I know how to make the real ones. Those in New York City are awful. Those are terrible.
They are kind of awful, yeah. You'll have to make them one day.
No. Those are not real. Those are...
I know how to
make the real ones. Well, our family, my family, they were German and Jewish. They all lived in this big, huge community, and they shared the same kind of recipes. They were all persecuted. Well, they came over in the early 1900s. They were persecuted in their own country. They were Germans. They weren't Nazis. There was no Nazism at that time.
Right.
Well, when my family came over here, they were only allowed to speak German inside the house or if they were in church. They're Lutheran. But outside and in school, they had to learn the language. The father said, you are going to learn the language. You are now an American. They didn't want to forget their culture, but they didn't really have a culture. They were in basically in prison. So when they come over, and just like your family, when you come over after being tyrannized for so long and you come over to a country where you're free and you've got freedom of speech, you can talk about this, talk about that. And yes, you do kiss the ground that you walk on, but these people, they don't respect this land. If you want, these people want to be citizens of this country, we all welcome them. But they're going to have to respect this land. They're going to have to respect the people. They're going to have to respect our laws, and they're going to have to respect our way of life. And if they don't deserve citizenship, period.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Because the thing is that, you know, the movement to sometimes in the school, if the kids come over and they're not speaking English, well, they want special classes for them and keep their culture together. No. What's successful and what works is mainstreaming those kids because they need to learn English. But I got to tell you, it's an agenda, because what happens is,
yep,
if you keep that community speaking a foreign language, well, you know, they end up being maids, and you know, they can't work in America. You know, they can't find a job if they can't speak English. I mean, I think it keeps Hispanic communities down when you sort of force them to put them in public schools and then let them keep speaking Spanish when they should be speaking English. You know,
I believe it's hurting them too.
My parents are both Spanish-speaking origins, and, you know, when I was a kid, they spoke Spanish to each other a lot, but when it came to me and my brothers, it was always English. And, in fact, even if I were to respond in Spanish, my father was like, no, speak English. We live in America. You speak English.
Right.
He said, I'll teach you Spanish after you perfect the English language. That's what he told me.
Well,
so
my grandparents.
It makes sense, you know, so that's the way I was raised. So it really makes a lot of sense to me. And, of course, you know, if me and my brothers were sort of put down, you know, no, you speak Spanish. Well, what ends up happening is, and I sort of have relatives like this, kind of, like they haven't perfected either language. They can't speak Spanish or English, so they speak Spanish. You know, it's true. You know,
I know it is.
And that's unfortunate. Because if you want to be successful in any country, well, you have to speak their language.
Well, yeah.
That doesn't mean you lose your culture.
No. Nobody's
culture.
Saying that you can't.
No.
You were born Mexican. Well, you're going to stay Mexican your whole life. You can't change your race. You know, I mean, I can't change from white to black. You just can't do it. But when you're in a country, like if I was to move to, say, Russia, I would have to learn Russian. I mean, some people
absolutely
can speak English, but if you're going to be a productive citizen in that country, you are going to have to learn. And what you talked about, and what you hinted on, about pride. Yes, of course. I would expect the Russians to be proud of Russia. I would be more concerned if they weren't. There would be a problem there. Yeah, everybody's got to have pride in their own country. There's nothing wrong with that. Nobody
There's
has a problem
wrong with
that.
It's
no.
Very normal. It's a very normal attachment feeling. It's you know, it's where you were born. It's your family. Even you know, even like my father, how much he loves America. But you know, he says Cuba is my country. You know, because Cuba is his country.
Right, he was born
but that
there.
Doesn't take away from that. You know, that doesn't take away from his love for America. It doesn't take away. You know, and in fact, my father has a PhD in journalism, and he came to this country, and my parents never been on welfare, by the way. And the first thing he didn't speak the language when he first got here, and he came with the shirt off his back because he pretty much escaped communist Cuba, and he worked as a dishwasher until he learned the language, you know. And then finally, you know, he you know got a job working as an editor for a Spanish-speaking medical journal for many years, and you know he was very successful, but. You know, he didn't care that he had to wash dishes, you know, because he had to feed himself, you know. So
right.
you do what you got to do. You have to, like you said, productive. And this is the thing. They, you know, the Democrats or the liberals, they don't want us to be productive. They want us cleaning houses, mowing lawns, doing
mowing
you know
their
what I mean?
Lawns
like,
and cleaning their
house.
That's
yeah, cleaning
want.
Your
they want.
Yeah, their house. They want to keep us down in our, you know, Spanish world so that we don't succeed and become successful. They don't want it. That's what I think.
Well, that's what they do with
the
black community.
Medicine, vote for Democrats, you know?
Right. Well, that civil rights bill. See, that's why Johnson finally went ahead with it. Kennedy said, no, I don't want nothing to do with it. That was Bobby Kennedy's tried to bring it to his brother. And he said, no, I'm not touching it. Of course, and Johnson was a big racist. That was well known. But then he decided, hey, wait a minute, there's a lot of political gain here. And I won't read his exact quote, but what he in essence, what he said was, if we pass this, we're going to get the black vote. He didn't use the word black. But right. He said, we're going to get the black vote for the next 200 years, and that's exactly what they did. Martin Luther King was a registered Republican. Most of the blacks were Republicans up until the Civil Rights Act, which what did they get from that Civil Rights Act? Well, they got bigger ghettos. That's the only thing that they got, and black people aren't allowed to get ahead. They don't like that. And Clarence Thomas, he's an Uncle Tom because of his success. Imagine that. I mean, an Uncle Tom. I mean,
Condoleezza Rice. She was invited to speak at a university, and then
That's Rutgers, and I hate
faculty,
Rutgers. I hate that call.
Not just students and faculty, which is just incredible to me. Like maybe freedom of speech. You can say what you want. You could a student group want to put together a protest against Condoleezza Rice. You know, it's their prerogative. But what offends me more is that the faculty.
Exactly.
What kind of lunatics would disparage a hugely successful minority woman? I love Condoleezza Rice. I mean, she is such a role model for minorities, particularly women, black women. It's just incredible. She's brilliant.
Because she's a Republican.
That's the
only reason. She's Republican.
Now she's not even speaking. And now who loses? Well, all those students won't have the benefit of her advice.
Well,
no, they're going to get a rapper or something. You know, they're going to get somebody else. Somebody.
Yeah,
Jay-Z
or Beyonce.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a real award winner. Why don't you get Justin Bieber up there? I mean, come on.
He'll get good advice.
When I started this, and I was actually going to talk about the Hate Crime Reporting Act of 2014. Have you heard of this?
No, not yet.
I hope it doesn't pass. But then I seen this other speech story of what happened yesterday on Cinco de Mayo, and I just lost it. I said, oh, my God in heaven, I got to talk about that first. The American flag. I mean, now if you wear an American flag out in public, I mean, can the police give you a ticket? Can the police walk up to you and make you turn your shirt inside out so you don't offend anybody?
What did the ruling say, actually? Did it say that we can't wear American flag shirts?
No, what it said was that the school has the right, and they were in the right to ban the American flag to block their First Amendment right of wearing the American flag. That they were in the right because the American flag is a symbol of racial animus. That was from the Ninth Circuit. That's their quote: symbol of racial animus, the American flag. Which stands for freedom for everybody. No, I literally I can't stand any more of this. I don't understand why people are buying into this notion that just because you're white automatically that you're hateful. And if you say anything automatically you're a racist, you're a homophobe, you're this. Like I made one comment. You know, did you ever do you watch the Kentucky Derby?
I don't.
Well, I like the Kentucky Derby, and I was watching the Kentucky Derby. They got 8 hours of pregame, and they got 2 minutes of the horse race. Well, they had this, you know how the women, they love those big, giant hats. Well, those big hats, it's been a tradition for 140 years at the Kentucky Derby, and all the women, they wear the hats, and who can outlandish the other one? You know, that's just a big to-do between ladies, you know. And, you know, okay, fine, they're outlandish hats, why not? It's one day, it's cool. Well, they had a guy on there with another woman, and he had one of those hats on, and he was dressed, almost in feminine clothes. And I'm thinking to myself, and I wrote on there, you know, those hats are for the ladies, not for the men. Well, of course, my liberal friends just went absolutely, I mean, just nuts. And I'm thinking, okay, my God, one flippant comment about a 140-year-long tradition at the Kentucky Derby, and it's got to be blasted completely out of the stratosphere. I said, this is ridiculous. Don't waste my frickin' time on this. I mean, I just, you know, I mean, I can't, come on. Look, if you don't like somebody's speech, I don't like anything that comes out of a liberal's mouth. Everything is hate speech to me, to them. But I'm not trying to stop them. You can criticize hate speech. You can criticize it all day long, and you can hate it. But you can't stop it. You have to love and respect the fact that they have the right to say it without persecution. And that means the citizens have to follow this Constitution, too, and they can't persecute their neighbor because they said something that they don't like.
Yes, of course. Yeah, hate crime laws are just absolutely ridiculous. They're against the First Amendment.
What First
Amendment?
I'm looking at my Constitution
here.
I don't
put on the television, and I can watch a local news program, and in my mind, a lot of what they're saying is hateful.
Yes.
So what's the difference? So should I...
they're in the right party.
To make a law that says they can't talk anymore? That's just absolutely ridiculous, really.
Well, I think we've got
to
start doing the same thing to them.
It's about people just trying to mute us, because the problem is that what they would prefer is that we sit down and shut up. And then they can do whatever the heck they want. If you and I were to sit down and shut up, they'd be happy. So they have to make these they have to pursue anti-First Amendment laws because they don't want the public to hear what we have to say.
Well, they don't want us to stop them from getting things like $800 billion stimulus packages that didn't go to the American people but went to their campaign donors and paid them back. We didn't get Obamacare. We didn't get the IRS. This is what they want. And they don't want anybody to say, wait a minute, you can't criticize me because I'm in charge now. Well, what's going to happen if the Republicans were to try that? I think the Republicans are going to win the election in 2016. I cannot imagine that this country is going to vote for Hillary Clinton. And I mean, I just can't imagine that. I mean, well, I never thought that we'd vote for Bill Clinton twice, and we did. I never thought we were going to vote for Barack Obama, but we did that one twice, too. So I don't really have any faith, but we have to keep up. The American people have to keep this up. And regardless of how much they try to stop us from speaking, and the more they try to stop us from speaking, we need to speak louder, even louder and louder and more and more and more. Shove it right back in their frickin' faces. Let me switch gears here real quick. I want to talk about, just real quick, because I came home about, I finally got home about 7:45, and I turned on Facebook, and I got, Nancy sent me a message, and you sent me, you had a post on there that Justina was getting ready to go back to Connecticut, but she's not really, really free. What's the real story?
Yeah, in fact, there's an article, a fresh article up on humanevents.com that I wrote last night, right after I reviewed the statements issued by Matt Staver and Lou Pelletier. I did have a short conversation with a text exchange with Lou. This is what's going on. They don't trust them, okay? They're trying to save face here. That's Mass DCF. They put together a reunification plan, and they gave it to the media before they even gave it to the parents. I mean, they're just ridiculous.
Oh, but I mean, she's really not. Even when she does get home to her parents, she's still not going to be free until she's 18 years old.
Well, she's not. I don't know if it's 18. Well, but these are sort of the issues that Staver is trying to negotiate with them. Because in their reunification plan, well, number one, that they were putting it back into the court system for a judge to decide, and they're not in agreement with that because Massachusetts statute says that the Department of Children and Family does have the right to pull a case regardless of whether a judge confirms or if it's in front of a judge. DCF absolutely has the authority to just drop the case against Justina. Of course they won't, because then it just shows, you know, they're trying to hide their own malfeasance, because then it shows that
they'll have to admit that they were wrong if they drop that case.
See,
this is what really pisses me off about politicians, exactly what would happen with Benghazi, Fast and Furious, IRS. They keep the same mantra. They keep it up because if they were to admit that they did wrong, that's going to show, I guess, weakness. Well, that to me doesn't show weakness. If you can come out and admit, hey, I totally screwed up, Here's what we did wrong, and here's what we're going to do, which is right. That's not weakness. That is strength. And that's
absolutely
what we don't get from our government. I don't have a problem with somebody coming out and telling me they make a mistake. So what? You make a mistake. I make a mistake. I mean, before I even open my eyes in the morning, I've already made half a dozen mistakes before my feet can hit the freaking ground. And I've got
I
no trouble admitting.
I make mistakes in my
sleep,
right?
No, exactly. I make mistakes in my dreams. But who cares? So what? You make a mistake. It's not that you make a mistake is the problem. It's what you do after the mistake. That's what really counts after that. But
yeah, you know, it's a responsibility thing. You know, you're responsible for your own actions, and it takes real courage and strength to be honest and admit when you're wrong.
This girl has to
sure.
be stuck in a room and getting closer and closer and closer to death because these people are afraid to come out and admit they made a mistake. So this girl has to die so these people don't have to admit that they screwed up.
Pretty much.
That is.
But let me tell you what they proposed. Which Sather says in his statement is very ironic, because they propose to bring her to another sort of center for, you know, they house these foster kids in, and they also do testing on them, and that's what I learned from Nancy last night. But they want to bring her into a place that only deals with behavioral issues, not medical. Again, meanwhile, you know,
what
is
her behavior
from the Pelletier home? Now, Matt said that there's a couple of places closer to their home where she could be treated for everything, medical, psychological, anything that she needs. You know, their point is that she's done with the psychological torture. You know, but
what?
There they are. They want to put her in a new home with new psychological torture but at the same time, which is so ridiculous, at the same time, they are going to put her back into Tufts and the medical program she was in, the exact same treatment that Lou and Linda Pelletier wanted for their daughter 14 months ago.
Well, see, I think that they're trying to go the back door.
So she's going to go back into treating with the doctors that the Pelletiers wanted 14 months ago before they kidnapped her.
Right.
And at the same time, they want to put her in a behavioral home so that they can keep their psychological torture. That's
right.
Why.
Well, they want a combination of getting her back on the regiment because the regiment that they had was killing.
She's dying, exactly, because they
right.
know she's dying and she needs the regiment. But at the same time, they will not admit, you know, they still are claiming their psychological, you know, they are pushing for their psychological warfare on Jacina. You know, enough is enough. How much torture does this girl have to undergo?
Well,
it's all for a cover. It's a cover up of malfeasance on their part. And if they admit it, it's more important. Is Deval Patrick the biggest coward on the face of the earth, or what?
No, that man is that's beyond cowardice, and it tells me that he's complicit.
He supposedly was a leader in the civil rights movement.
Oh.
What about the Pelletier's civil rights?
She's
white.
She's
a white
girl. Does
it not matter to him? Does she not have civil rights?
No, she doesn't have any rights. No, she doesn't have any civil rights. She's white. She doesn't have any civil rights, and her parents are probably Republican, so she doesn't have any rights at all. Even if she is black.
They wanted to sit down and shut up.
Well, they got her to shut up because she can't speak now. She can't even walk.
True,
you know, I'm
that's
just afraid
true.
That
you know,
this
and,
girl...
And it's so strange, too, because, you know, why is, you know, the IEP, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, which is an individual education plan, and these plans are devised for kids who have special needs. And because Justina has a learning disability, she was on an IEP program at the private school that she was attending. And these IEPs are developed with the school and the parents and any sort of specialty. And I know I've been to IEP meetings for my own children, and they're really intense, and it's just a focus on what is the best thing for the child. And I just think it's it's a very good program because you can take that IEP to any school in the country. I think it's great because it really works on that particular child because every child is different. They need a different plan, you know, when they have special needs. So that's what Justina was on. Why on earth would a social state agency agency determined that she should be off her IEP and not get that education that is so useful. It's just complete absurdity. If the Department of Children and Family were the parents, they would have taken Justina away from them for abuse
without
giving her the proper education. Just the education value. What about the religious aspect? She's Catholic. She hasn't received communion. She hasn't gone to confession. She hasn't done her sacrament. She hasn't studied the Bible. She's done nothing.
Well, speaking of studying Bible, you can't read a Bible in school now.
She's not allowed to talk to her parents about her medical care. She's not allowed to tell her own parents how she's feeling. She's not allowed to see her parents when she wants. She wasn't allowed to see her mother on her mother's birthday last year. She wasn't allowed to see her mother on Mother's Day. What the heck is wrong with them?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure this stuff out, how people can get to the level where they can actually do that to another human being, whether they're a child, whether they're black or they're Mexican or they're Indian or they're Chinese. It's just a freaking dog, man. I can't even do that to an animal.
If it's an insect,
I don't have a problem with it. But, she's not an insect. She's a real human being. And they don't seem to understand that. But if she's a cow, then we got to bring cowboys in here and let's all go to war. I mean, that just drives me insane.
Or if she was, some bird, all the liberals would be wanting to protect her.
Spotted owl. We had that spotted owl back.
Oh, gosh, there they are,
Yeah, we had a lot of logging where I came from.
But forget about Justina. And then they so boldly and arrogantly say, yes, we have the power to take your kid because we are right and you are wrong. And they, with a straight face, big smile, it's very complicated.
Well, they went to college. They've got a piece of paper with their name on it. They know more. See, they got a piece of paper. It says right there, PhD. They know more than you. You didn't win an election. You don't have a piece of paper with your name on it. What the hell do you know? Oh, yeah. Anyway, I want to let's switch gears again here. Because we can talk about this forever, but I hear you have a new article on Benghazi.
I do. Let me just go back to it now. It's just a summary of what went on last week. I'm going to pull it up.
Well, I started going back. I went back a little bit yesterday and the day before and on Sunday. I wanted to find out, go back to the original stories where it started, and I wanted to catch my way up and watch the story progress. This story has progressed and changed. I mean, so many times I'm just drunk with the way that how many times this story has changed. Now, how can it possibly change? First of all, it is what it is, what it is, what it is. There is no reason for this story to change if they were just simply come out. And don't give me this crap, this nonsense that we didn't have anybody in that area. First of all, I know when I was in the Navy, we had ships everywhere. We've got troops everywhere across the globe so that we can respond to any place that we need to at any given time. That's part of our military. Now, this nonsense, and we didn't have any aircraft carriers. Well,
that's
let me tell you something. I know it's a lie. We had two of them. We had the Dwight D. Eisenhower, and we had the Enterprise. And they were both in the Arabian Sea, which I've been in the Arabian Sea, and I've been in the Persian Gulf. I've been all over the Indian Ocean. I've been all over the Pacific Ocean. It is only a hop, skip, and a jump from the Arabian Sea to Benghazi on those planes. Those planes, those F-18s, those fighter jets, they fly really, really fast. You cannot tell me that they could not get a plane up into the air they had 8 hours. There's no excuse. You could fly from Germany, for God's sakes, from Germany to Benghazi, and they would have made it before the fighting ended. So I don't want to buy this crap, and then that stupid Geraldo Rivera, which I just want to slap him. I can't stand that guy. He irritates me to no end. He can be really good. He's a good investigative reporter, but sometimes,
he is a good reporter,
man,
like, yeah, but
when
he's on,
but when he is off, he's just beyond off.
Yeah.
He's beyond off on this, and he's trying to stick up And he still thinks that this was caused by some cockamamie video that nobody saw. And I'm a firm believer that our government is the one who put that video out to get that to get those things, those little protests started in Cairo. I don't have any proof of it. I know it's just an accusation, and I know I shouldn't make accusations. But if it were to come out that that was the truth, I wouldn't be one bit surprised. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know, we do have proof that said it was as a result of the video. I don't know whether the White House put it out. You're right, but I would guess they did too. I agree with you. But you know, it was a Brigadier General Robert Lovell, who was the United States Africa Command quote unquote J2, which is the general in charge of the intelligence shop there in Benghazi. And what he said was there was no evidence of protests. There wasn't even. The general said there was no evidence of protests outside the compound, and the video had nothing to do with the attack. And this was said early on at the AFRICOM Operations Center, where the general was. The general said there was no evidence of protests outside the compound, and the video had nothing to do with the attack. So the White House knew this day one. Now, I got to tell you something. I was hosting a radio program back then, and within 7 days, I had an expert on my show who was an international security expert. He's worked for the CIA. He's an Army vet. His name is Anthony Millay. And he had concluded, based upon his own personal investigation, that YouTube video was a fraud, that there were no protests. And this is the way he explained it to me. He said, you know how there's a fire. You call 911, right? Now, the firehouse, they don't wait for somebody to give direction. They get the call, they go.
Right.
Nobody says, okay, the call's in, now you can go. It doesn't work like that in the Army either. When you get that call, there's nothing that stops you. When you get the call, you go.
Right.
So what
they never got
the call. Told me was that somebody had to make a call to say, no, don't go, because it automatically happens. It's just like a firehouse. You get that call, they go. But if the captain of the firehouse goes, don't go, that's the only time that they would not respond.
Right.
You
well,
see
here's
what I mean? Somebody had to tell somebody, don't go. Save them.
Here's what it is. See, they had people, the troops on the ground, they heard what was going on. So into their mind, they automatically thought that they were going to get an order to go. So they loaded up. But the commanding officer said,
they don't need an order to go.
Unless you're in an actual time of war, you do need the president to say go. Well, the commanding officer, this is where the stand down order, I think, is where it came from. The commanding officer says you don't have the authority to go, meaning the White House did not say go. So by the White House not saying go, they're actually saying don't go. They just didn't say anything. So the commanding officer, if they were to go, they would have violated, you know, military, you know, whatever. So the commanding officer said, you don't have the authorization to go. That's why they had to disembark. And I think that's where that stand down order came. It didn't come. I don't think it came from the White House, because the White House didn't say don't go, and they didn't say go. So by not saying go, it is just the same as saying don't go. So that's how the White House is getting away with this, we didn't give the stand down order nonsense. Well, they didn't give a stand up order. So that's where the problem lies. And you're right. It should be immediately that military goes, but the military cannot, unless you are in a time of war and you're defending yourself, the military cannot. And there's reasons for it, because then you're going to have generals and admirals just start bombing places and bombing people willy-nilly. And you can't have that. So there has to be that, you know, that top command to give the order to go or not go. Well, this president did absolutely nothing. And it looks like Valerie Goebbels, which I, you know, Valerie Jarrett, I call her Valerie Goebbels, but it looks like she's the one who was actually in charge. The president wasn't even in the situation room. How the hell the president could not be in the sit room at this time? He's upstairs. He's eating dinner with Michelle. He's in the Oval Office getting a tweet A goddamn update? What the hell is that? You don't get updates from the Oval Office. You get updates in the Situation Room. And don't tell me that they didn't watch what the hell was going on by those drones, because they had those drones in the air, and the pilot himself testified that he was flying the goddamn thing, and he turned, he went from the embassy, and he went over to the annex building. Now this, I mean, I just, and then the one lady, remember when she said that they had drones in the air, and then of course Hillary Clinton said, "Well, no, that they didn't have drones, and we didn't watch it." Well, that was BS too. And I, you know, I love this fact that we're going to have another committee. But you know, I enough with the committees. Look, as long as there's action that follows this committee, I'm going to be okay with it. But I don't have any faith, and I love Trey Gowdy, but I still don't have any faith in Congress that there is going to be action after this committee.
Okay, well,
we may find out the truth, but what's that going to do?
And the White House came out today and says we may not even cooperate with your special committee.
Well, they're going to do everything
because
they can.
They're the most transparent White House ever. Remember?
Oh, they are. Oh yes, they're most transparent. Oh yeah, and they're
and
they've
already publicly stated that they are not going to cooperate. I mean, who does the president think he is, above the law?
Yes.
You're not going to cooperate. Congress is demanding that you cooperate, and the White House said, "No, we're not going to answer any questions on that. Goodbye."
Well,
how
for John Boehner to take 2 years to get a committee on this, tells me, now I know a lot these talking points, and here's my theory, because these talking points before Susan Rice went out there and lied to the American people, these talking points were not only given to Susan Rice, but they were given to members of Congress as well. Speaker of the House John Boehner was in on that meeting. These people had those talking points, and I think this is the reason why Boehner didn't want to have a special committee, because they would find out that he knew those talking points were bogus, and he didn't do a damn thing to argue about it, and he let them go through. So I think that's just my theory. And, what's her name? Hillary Clinton. Now, I'm sure they can, but will they call her? But no, they tried to subpoena John Kerry. Well, John Kerry had no idea what the hell was going on. He still was a senator. They should be subpoenaing Hillary Clinton for this. I mean, I understand you need to get to the State Department, because the State Department was heavily involved, and I'm sure he's got some information that people gave him, but John Kerry shouldn't be there. He had nothing to do with that. Hillary Clinton needs to be there. That's just my...
Yeah, and Boehner would probably protect her. But I think I got two things going on. Next week I'm going to have an exclusive interview with Trey Gowdy, because, you know, I had reached out to his office for a story one day before it was announced. It was like it came to me in a dream. I thought, Trey Gowdy, I want to talk to that guy. And
one day before it
came out in the news, I had already requested his office give me an interview, and I had already sent questions to him. But because he was appointed that very next day, the office, you know, basically apologized to me and said, it's just too crazy right now. We can't get you an interview. They sent me an email yesterday saying, you know, again, apologizing. They didn't want to blow me off or anything, but they said that you can, you know, definitely early next week give us a call, and we're going to, you know, get you that interview with Trey. So, you know, just think about it for a couple of days, and if you don't mind, if you want to, give me some questions, some of the things that concerns you about this committee, like you were just, you know, noting.
Where was the president during these attacks? I want to know where the president was during these attacks, and I also want to know why there was no order given to go and help. Why there was no order given to go to help, and where was the president the entire time? Where was he? I want a chronological order of exactly where he was from the very moment that he got the word that our embassy was being attacked. I want to know minute by minute where the hell our president was. I want to know how long he spent upstairs eating dinner with his frickin' wife. I want to know how long he spent a night in bed, because he had a long flight the next day to Vegas for a fundraiser. I want to know where my president was and why he was not in the Situation Room. And I want to know why there was no order given to go and help. Those are my two questions that I want. I've been asking that from the very beginning. And look, I have faith in Trey Gowdy that he's going to find out and do the best job of anybody that we have in Congress. I have 100% faith. But what I don't have faith in is the action that's going to follow this committee hearing. That's where my problem is.
I want to give you the name of a group out there that is really doing an excellent job in trying to, you know, bring about awareness to this Benghazi problem. And not just awareness, but they are solving problems. And I interviewed them. They're Special Operations Speaks, SOS. Have you heard of them before?
I think I've heard of them. I think I've heard of that somewhere in a million. Special Ops Speaks. Now,
is it
Special Operations Speaks?
They're a group of veterans looking for answers on Benghazi, and they got put together. I think right after Benghazi, they've been together a little while.
I interviewed
like one of the directors there, and wow, I got some really juicy stuff. But that's going to be posted like in the next couple of days.
Definitely call back and let me know.
I want everybody to get on their mailing list. Check this out. You know what they did? They're just so cool. They scrolled out on the steps of the Capitol. A 4-foot by 60-foot scroll, the largest petition in the history of Congress, with the names of nearly 1,000 veterans on a petition demanding this select committee. So they've been working really, really hard. Of course, their response was, what took them so long? Like you said earlier. But they, of course, they're happy that they're not, you know, they're happy that it's happening. I mean, they basically just come out and say the president is lying, that it's a spin factory and he's lost all credibility. When I asked them whether about the blasé attitude, you know, about the fishing expedition, you know, they find that appalling. They said they wouldn't say it was old news if a member of the family got killed.
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay. Of course not.
No, and this is what I talked about last week, and I went off on one of my tangents and tirades. What if Obama's daughter was raped and cattle prodded, and don't you think that and if I was to stand there and watch that happen and not send any help, knowing full well that I had an opportunity to send help to save his daughter, whether I got there in time or not, don't you think that I would go to jail? You damn right I would. You damn right I would. Anybody would.
Not only that, but not only would they send help, but what about going after the culprits? Because, you know, in the United States of America, we are a country of laws. We're not allowed to murder people. Who did it? Who did it? And why aren't they in jail? That's what I want to know.
Well, that lady.
How come the United States of America haven't caught the culprits yet? That's what I want to know.
This is what I'm trying to get at. You remember that girl, the reporter from ABC, and she left because she was covering Benghazi. What the heck is her name?
Yes. I know who you're talking about.
Okay. Well, she was on Fox last week. And I think it was Greta or it was somebody. And they asked her that same question. And she goes, look, they do know who it is, and they're just waiting for the right moment to jump in and capture them. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, what right moment? If you know who they are, the moment you know who they are, that's the right frickin' moment. But they want to do it closer to the election so they can make it look like they're actually doing something, which is ridiculous. This isn't about politics. I can't stand this. Everything's got
to
be political. It's ridiculous.
Well, that's Obama.
Well,
it's the only way he can operate because he's not a commander. He's not a leader.
No.
He's just a political spin machine.
He's an empty suit. He's nothing. He's a big, fat, giant, double bacon cheese nothing burger. There is nothing there. He's had one day in court, and I read the transcript. The judge chewed his ass out. I mean, just it was embarrassing. And Acorn told him, he said, no, you're never coming back in court again. You need to go be a community organizer. And that's when he became a community organizer, because he wasn't an attorney. The man doesn't understand the law. If you've ever heard this man talk about the United States Constitution, there is no excuse why this man was allowed to pass the bar. And my theory is the only reason why he was allowed to pass the bar because he had lied of being a foreign exchange student. And that's the only reason that he was allowed to pass that bar, because there's no way that he can convince me that he understands that Constitution. I've never been to law school, but I certainly not understand this Constitution a hell of a lot better than him. And it's not that difficult of a document to understand, my God, in sweet blue heaven. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I get sideways with this stuff. And
I get upset about Benghazi, too.
And I can't
really
help.
Insulting. It's so insulting when they say things like, oh,
those are our brothers, man. Those are our brothers. Those are American citizens that our own government allowed to die. Now, this nonsense that we didn't have anything to do with the attack, well, really? Well, then why did we get rid of all of our security after the Red Cross left, after the British left, after that embassy has already been attacked, what, 3-4 times before then? And so since we've been attacked 4 times already, let's get rid of all of our security. So when they do attack us, they can really, really wipe us out. I mean, what is the point of that? You're attacked 4 times, you beef up your security, or you get the hell out of there altogether.
Can I tell you what SOS told me?
What'd they say?
They said, we believe that it is that the cover-up goes deeper than the election. As recently reported by the Citizens Petition on Benghazi, the U.S. may have switched sides in the war on terror in Libya and armed Al-Qaeda with $500 million worth of arms. If true, this is treason, plain and simple.
Well, there's a lot of treason in Benghazi, even if there wasn't any weapons deal. A lot of weapons deals with that.
I wrote an article for the Rockland County Times in New York. I had an interview with Aaron Klein. He's a reporter, an Israeli reporter.
I know who he is. Oh, yeah, I listened to him.
And I did an interview with him, and that's basically what he told me. He said this had nothing – this was, I don't know, at least a year ago. And he said it had nothing to do with video. He told me that. He said, no, that it's the U.S. arming Libyans. That was the problem.
Well, it's a Syrian rock.
A lot of experts, a lot of people are broadcasters were trying to find the truth and trying to figure out what happened. But because the White House is, just trying to block anything about Benghazi because they're so corrupt. And if, in fact, just like SOS said, it would be treason. So
they're trying to cover up the weapons deals that they were making with the Syrian rebels, which the Syrian rebels are Hamas, Al-Qaeda.
That's right. That was my article, something to that effect. That's what Aaron told me exactly, yeah. That we're just mixed up with the terrorists. We're arming terrorists. I mean, what's going on?
I don't know, but why is this president so gung-ho to get rid of the Syrian, Bashar Assad? Why is he so gung-ho? Why is that such a big to-do? The government itself isn't really causing any problems, not to the America anyway, not to America anyway that I can see. And I didn't like the way we went into Iraq, but that's a whole different story. But, I mean, I just don't understand why we have to concern ourselves so many times with so many other countries when there's other countries that we should be concerning ourselves with, and we just leave them alone. But the ones that we should be ignoring, well, that's the ones that we've got to go fix. I mean, we need to fix ourselves first before we can even think about trying to fix anybody else. I'm sick and tired of all these other countries. I want America's front yard and backyard cleaned up before we even send one more goddamn dime to any more country over here. I'm sick and tired of giving money to Egypt. I'm sick and tired of giving money to Saudi Arabia. Why should we give money to Saudi Arabia? My God, one of the richest countries in the world with all that oil, and we got to give them money?
Yeah.
How? We've got 91.5 million people out of freaking work. We've got poverty rates just through the freaking roof, and we've got to give money to Saudi Arabia? They don't need any money. We need the money. Instead of giving that money to them, just so we can go into terrorist hands, and I'm sorry, whatever, you can call them whatever you want to call them, but at the end of the day, they're freaking terrorists, and they want to use that money to attack Americans. So why don't we take that money and do it to some good use over here in this country? But no, we got
to
go armed, Saudi.
Yeah, I'd like to get the heck out of all those everywhere. I mean, we want to have, we want bases. There are places, like you said, that we need to be in. But we need to stop this, war, telling,
right.
You know what? We cannot control the world.
No,
and we can't. Yeah, so we need to help. We need to do something about us.
We need to go more on
and
defense rather
than pushing away our patriotism. Our patriotism doesn't matter. No, we need to be together and be patriotic so that we can work together to fix this country. I pulled up the article that I was talking about with Klein, and I want to read it to you if you don't mind, because it has some interesting information. And because it's older, it just shows you that, like, the media, like our type of media, wants this issue from day one, whereas the bigger media was not, because they were issued the talking points.
Right.
Because Aaron Klein isn't shy. He's going to tell you what he thinks. So he says, while the news media was parroting, or I wrote, while the media was parroting the Obama administration's claim that the attack in Benghazi, Libya, was incited by a YouTube video, Klein was gathering real facts. About a week after the attacks, I received information from Middle Eastern security officials that this was not a consulate. The U.S. never had a consulate in Benghazi. This was a special mission, he said. The mission was being used in part as a headquarters to coordinate aid and weapons to the opposition in Libya and ultimately to the opposition in Syria, he said. On September 11, 2012, a heavily armed group engaged the American headquarters, which resulted in the killing of four people, including U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens. Stevens was one of the chief facilitators of providing weapons to opposition groups. Middle Eastern security sources told Klein that a refusal to return arms could explain why the facility was attacked, he said. The American government is arming a witch's brew of Libyan rebels, which includes al-Qaeda. Then when they attempted to collect those arms to redistribute them to the Syrian rebels, the Libyans did not want to give them back. The real story behind Benghazi is the weapons transfers, said the Yeshiva University graduate. This is a 100% failure of the United States media to fully report the weapons transfers. This should be a defining Obama scandal like the Iran-Contra scandal of Ronald Reagan.
Well, no, this is exactly
Isn't
what it is.
Incredible?
It's a weapons deal that has gone.
We're not even talking about weapons. We're not even talking about the fact that they were trafficking weapons.
Oh, I know.
And
I've been talking about
source.
It on this program.
That wasn't
There's
a consulate, he said. That was a weapons transferring location.
They were transferring weapons. There was also 400 surface-to-air missiles that were also stolen out of the annex building during that attack as well. So not only did they might want to give those weapons out or give those weapons back and transfer them to wherever they were supposed to go, and there was a lot more weapons transfers even before that. There's been weapons deals going back and giving to al-Qaeda. This has been going on for a long time. It wasn't just a one-time deal. And this is they're doing everything they can to stop the American people and the world, not just the American people, but the world. They don't want the world to know that they were funneling money and funneling weapons to al-Qaeda and Hamas, because that's going to piss off a lot of countries, because there's a lot of countries that are fighting Hamas. Europe, what's going on in England right now with al-Qaeda radical Islam and all that crap, Sharia law, all that? I mean, what's going on in Europe is just, and it's coming here. There, Florida, I think it was your state. Let me see what that is. Florida had voted, but got voted down. But Democrats voted, every single one of them, to impose Sharia law on women. That was in Florida. Florida Democrats. And the vote was...
Oh, that's sick.
24...
That's incredible. I mean, that's just incredulous.
24-14.
Can't do that.
Sharia
law,
do people know what that is?
One religion, it says freedom of all religions. I mean, come on, it's just ridiculous.
Well, look, you can have freedom of religion, but if your religion says that you have the right to bury your wife in the backyard and throw stones at her until she's dead, or run her over with your car, or cut her head off, I don't give a damn what the hell says in your Bible or your Quran or whatever book that you use for your religion. We have things in our country that you can't murder people, regardless of what your God or your whatever tells you that you can do. You want to practice Sharia law? You want to kill your wife? You want to bury her in the backyard and throw stones at her till she's dead? That's fine. That's your right as a Muslim, but you can't do that here. You need to take that crap over there where it belongs. You don't bring it in here. And how judges are now, there's judges that are sympathetic to this crap in this country. They're trying to get that, well, because of a Muslim, he killed his wife because, or his daughter, because she dared to wear makeup out in public and look pretty, some man might actually look at her and go, ooh, look at that hot mama. That's what he doesn't want. So he can kill his daughter because she looked pretty. And he can get away with this crap. This is the kind of stuff.
Right,
I mean, I believe in freedom, but there is a...
It doesn't cover murder. I mean, you can't make laws that contrive with the Constitution. Otherwise, they're not laws. I mean, they just cannot. Obviously, you can't commit murder, you know.
Right.
It's a propaganda machine as far as – I think purposefully there are entities that, you know, want this friction between Muslims and Christians. I don't know. Some people agree with me on that. I think I mention it just because, you know, just in all fairness, you know, the Muslim people, have a different methodology or, you know, they have a different culture, and that's okay. You know, I mean, obviously they're not killing, you know, we don't want anyone dead. You know, it's not the norm, you know, that these type of killings go on. That they let it go on, of course, I'm in 100% disagreement. But you know, Muslims in general, you know, I mean, they're not murdering, hatering, you know, Allah Akbar, you know, people either.
There's far too many bad ones that make all the other ones look.
Unfortunately, and those extremists are, you know, the ones that stand out. That's what makes news, and they are the extremists, and there are going to be extremists everywhere, and we have to fight them down because, you know, the Muslim people don't want that either. They don't want people killed.
Well, they're moving farther and farther west. Right, they're getting more and more power in Europe. They're trying to get more and more power here in the United States. They're trying to get more and more power all over the world.
And it hurts everybody. It hurts Muslims. It hurts Christians. It hurts us all. The extremists are hurting us all. And the media, they like the extremists. You know, they want Sharia law or something.
So they come out there and they think that if they're sympathetic to these extreme Muslims, that they won't cut their head off.
Yeah.
What are you worried about? They're cutting your head off? What about the other people that they're going to be killing? Those are your brothers, man. You can hate the son of a bitch all you want to, but he's still your brother. He's an American. So you gotta stand up for them too. You can't just be protecting yourself, you little coward. These are creeps.
Yeah.
I got no respect for the media, none, and I lost respect for the media. I was 6 years old, and I remember that I could have been seven. But it was, remember Yasser Arafat? That's when I first learned of Yasser Arafat and the PLO. It was 1972 or something like that. I was 6 or 7 years old, and my mom was getting ready for a PTA meeting. She's going back and forth, and she had a little TV, and I was watching it in her room while she's going back and forth. My mom was a teacher, and this news program came on, and I said, well, who was this guy? And they're carrying him down the streets. I still remember that. And she said, well, that's the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization. I've always remembered that, because at that point, then every day in the news, all you heard was Yasser Arafat, PLO, Yasser Arafat, PLO. So it just stuck with me. Well, then they went on to a local story, and I can't remember what the local story was, and I knew that the guy was lying. Here I am, 6, 7 years old, for crying out loud. And if a 6 or 7 year old knows an adult's lying, they're lying. I mean, kids are pretty perceptive. Kids are not stupid.
Yeah.
Children are not, they haven't learned to be stupid yet. You do have to be educated to be stupid. You can't just get stupid on your own. You have to be educated to be an idiot. I believe that 100%. And I said, Mom, this guy's lying. She goes, no, he's a newscaster. My mom's a big lib. She's a big, fat, huge lib. And she goes, no, the newscasters, they don't lie. They're delivering their news. I said, Mom, I don't care what. No, this guy is lying. And to that day, we argued back and forth. To that day, I have yet to have respect for the media. If the media wants respect, they're going to have to earn it. Just simply tell me the facts. I don't care what the facts are. All I want to know is what are the facts. I want all of them. I don't want just the ones that you want to give me. Now,
exactly.
I know you may have to report on somebody that you really like, and you may have to tattle on them, but that's your job. Reporters shouldn't, there shouldn't even be Republican or Democrat in journalism anyway. First of all, I don't believe in parties anyway. That I don't like parties at all anyway. I want to vote on the individual. I don't want to vote on some stupid party. What the hell does that mean? I mean, the Republican Party, I mean, some of the crap that they come up with. What? No. I'm going to think for myself. If I like it, I like it. If I don't like it, I don't like it. I can care less what my neighbor likes. I can care less what my boss likes. I can care less what my stupid party likes. I only care what I like. If I like it, I like it. If I don't, I don't. That's my decision to make, not anybody else's. And I respect somebody else's decision. If they like something that I don't like, okay, fine. They like it. I don't like it. Boom, bada, beam. I mean, some people like chocolate and some people like vanilla. It doesn't mean anything. And then you've got people that are crazy and they like strawberry. So now what? You see what I mean? You have the right to make your own decision, right, wrong, good, bad, or indifferent. And that's what's missing in this country. The citizens need to start following the First Amendment. It's not just for the government, not just for the law enforcement, but it's for the citizens as well. You can hate what they do, but you can't persecute.
It's especially for the citizens. The Bill of Rights.
Exactly.
It is for the citizens. It isn't for them. It's designed to protect us. It's the same way that these hospitals are using HIPAA to protect themselves. HIPAA is to protect, which are laws against, you know, privacy medical rights. Well, HIPAA is designed to protect individuals, their rights, and their medical rights.
Oh, my God, I had a story
on private.
That HIPAA.
But Boston Children's Medical says, oh, no, it's HIPAA. We can't tell you anything. Oh, no, excuse me. You have to tell us what, you know, you have. There has to be transparency. You know, you can't just steal kids and then claim HIPAA. No,
that's what I now I remember.
Yeah.
Now I remember.
With, you know, I heard, and I didn't confirm this, but I believe it to be true, and I don't know if I read it somewhere or anything, but on the way, when they first were taking Justine away, you know what she, I mean, she's, and I forgot the source, she said, can I see a lawyer? Smart girl.
Well, yeah.
She said, can I have a lawyer?
Imagine what she was going through at 14. She goes into the hospital and they're taking her away from her family. She's not allowed to. That first night that Justina spent away from her family.
And she was smart enough to ask for a lawyer, and they didn't give her one.
Well, she doesn't deserve one. She doesn't have any rights. She's property of the state.
Right. Exactly.
Well, you know, but when you said something about HIPAA, now I remember that story. Have you heard that story? You know the lady who one of the clerks in Hawaii that for Obama's birth certificate. Well, there's a big conspiracy theory. I don't like really conspiracy theories. I like conspiracy facts. But when you start having a preponderance of evidence starting to pile up, I mean, sometimes a conspiracy, it may not be true, but it certainly looks like it's true, and it's worthy of at least an investigation. But, well, HIPAA, there was a group that for a FOIA request to get the autopsy. Let me go backwards here. This lady worked at the office that handled Obama's birth certificate in Hawaii. Well, evidently she had seen, like, the real birth certificate or this or that, however the story goes. Well, there was a plane that went down. It was like a tour plane or something like that. And all the witnesses said that she was alive after the crash, or the plane just landed there in the water. That's still murky. We don't really have all the evidence and all the facts on that one. But in any event, she ended up dying somehow, some way. And this group is trying to find out and see her autopsy report. Well, I seen the autopsy report that they sent. It was completely redacted. Nothing left on there. It was just a black piece of paper of what it was. And they used HIPAA as a reason why they blacked that out. Well, look, HIPAA is when you're still alive. When you're dead, you have no vested interest in your autopsy report. What are you going to do? You're going to take that up to St. Peter? Here, Pete. Here's my autopsy report. Can I come into heaven now? I mean, what the hell does a dead person need a frickin' autopsy report? What are they hiding it from? So this tells me, when you hide something, that tells me that you're guilty. You may not be guilty, but why are you hiding it? This is what I want to find out. Why are they hiding that? Whether this guy was born in the United States or not, I don't care if he was born on the frickin' moon. I can't wait till the son of a bitch is out of office. But once he gets out of office, that's where the real work begins, because now we have to go back and repair everything that this man screwed up. And this is where it's going to take the American people are going to have to eventually start coming together and accepting no more of this nonsense. And we can't accept any more from the citizens. We can't accept any more from the law enforcement. And we can't accept any more from our government. We have to accept more from ourselves. And that's what's really missing. And I think we're starting to see pockets of people, coming on and starting to realize that, but it's not going fast enough for me. Maybe I'm just impatient, but I can't wait any longer. I don't want to wait any longer. I want it fixed now. That's just me.
Me too. I do. I have to thank you for introducing me to Nancy yesterday. I'm going to be participating in a conference call today with Nancy and another writer that I know. Her name is Jamie Hope. And we're going to collaborate on bozing DCF and CPS and all the problems. And all of us have our own little unique background and history where we can do the investigation. We can put together, share the facts that we have. And what I'd like to do is really sort of full force media attack, exposing this huge problem. And when I on Facebook last night, somebody posted, like, when I was talking about Justina being free, I had received a text that she was free. She wasn't actually free yet, but in any event, I had clarified that. Somebody said, okay, let's bring the next kid. Who's next, Raquel?
Who's next?
Exactly. I got 15 kids in jail in DCF care. They're right. Who's next? We got Justina out, hopefully sooner or later.
There has got to be literally thousands, tens of thousands of children.
And I think it's a great idea. And I want after Justina, who's next? We're gonna get some other kid out free, and then the next person, and the next kid, and the next kid, until there's some outrage by the community, because that's what it's going to take. It has to be.
Well, that's why that HR 4518 is so important. To call your representative, and tell them HR 4518. If you don't know what that is, we read it yesterday, but look it up. Just Google it. HR 4518. It's a very short bill, and it's very short, sweet, and to the freaking point. And this must be something like this. Yes, this bill, something, if not this bill, something very, very, very similar, which is going to cut money off of these people if they kidnap children without a real reason. If the mother and the father are taking the kid and they're shoving his hand on the burner, they're hitting him with bats and belts, and they're physically harming them. Okay, I think most people can come up with the conclusion that mom and dad need not take care of this child, give this child to another parent. But a lot of these foster parents are just nothing but social workers and could care less. They're overworked, they're stressed out, and they're incompetent, not because they're stupid, but because they simply haven't been trained properly, and they don't really know what the hell to do. And then when you got a child that acts up a little bit, they don't know how to handle the situation. They end up abusing them. The kids end up abusing the kids. The kid goes from one rat hole to another, one abusive home to another abusive home, and it does the child no good. But when he gets out of there, he goes straight to freaking prison. What are we doing to these kids?
Prison population, they're all former foster kids. This is the government's fault because they're child trafficking. They are child trafficking children, period. They're selling them sex trade. They're selling them for adoption. And they have, in my county, they have the county sheriff's office, the adoption agency, and CPS all in the same building. That is a child trafficking hellhole. CPS, adoption agency, same building.
How do you get to that level? I mean, I'm not Mr. Sympathetic,
but
I mean, my...
Because they get away with it for so long, right? They get away with it for so long. Lip service, and then the propaganda machine, those abusive parents. We better protect those kids.
It ain't psychological drugs. Because they got
the
a belly ache, that means
it's
all in your head.
It was Hitler who made the first child protection unit. And
exactly.
That was to steal teenagers and put them, you know, in his army. And he drugged them with heroin, quite frankly. So they are using the same system as Hitler.
Right. They want to indoctrinate their own little armies, and they get everybody that's going to think exactly the same way. Well, I don't want to think exactly the same way as somebody else, and nor do I want somebody else thinking exactly the same way of me. Like sometimes when you're having a discussion with somebody and they're thinking exactly the same as you, and sometimes you're kind of wondering, now you start to question yourself. Like, wait a minute here. You know what I mean? We can't be that close. You need to have a little bit of differences, and it's okay to be even completely different. You know, I'm sorry, but it's okay to be unique. It's okay to be yourself. It is okay. Don't worry about that, shipmates. You can be okay. You're not going to get hurt. No, you're not going to bleed. You're not going to have pus oozing from your pores. You're not going to break any bones if you're a goddamn individual. So, I mean, that's just me. I've always been that way. I've always been independent. I've always been on my own. I've just always been that way. Maybe I was born that way. I don't know. But I didn't invent me. I just know how I work, and I cannot conform to how somebody else thinks, how somebody else feels, because I don't live their life. I live my life. I don't expect somebody else to just adopt the way I think and the way I feel, even though I don't want to argue with people, but I'd like to have them see my side. Like liberals, I'd love to have them see our side once. It would be nice. But we're never going to get that. So I look, if that's what they want, then they're going to get it. Because I'm going to continue to fight them. I don't care. I'm going to fight them until my death, period. Even in my death, I'm going to come. If there's ever a way where a person can come back from the dead and haunt these sons of bitches, I'm going to find a way to do it. I don't care. So.
Yeah.
I get myself all exercised over this, and I don't care. I'm sick and tired of these people with this. Well, let's have a civil conversation. Really? What civil conversation ever got us anywhere? Well, we got Obamacare. We've got stimulus packages. We've got this. We've got government overreach. We don't have a First Amendment anymore. We don't have a Second Amendment anymore. The Third Amendment, it's only a matter of time before that one goes. The Fourth Amendment, what Fourth Amendment? You're not secure
exactly
in your home.
Yeah.
The Fifth Amendment, that one's half gone, too. Sixth Amendment?
Yep.
Jesus
Parents
God.
Parents don't
I mean,
have Fifth Amendment rights. Parents don't have any rights, by the way, at all.
And the Eighth Amendment? Where's the Eighth Amendment? Cruel and unusual punishment. Where is Justina Pelletier's Eighth Amendment right? Being locked in a room by herself with no medical attention? How? I mean, Charles Manson gets medical attention. Justina Pelletier gets nothing. Now, you explain that to me. How is that not an Eighth Amendment violation? I don't know.
Yep.
It is. It is a direct violation. All of her, the whole damn Bill of Rights is gone. I mean, I'm looking at my Constitution here. It's gone. It's blank. It's all redacted. There's nothing left. It's shredded. There's nothing left. And this is racist, they think. How is this racist? Where's the racist in here? Where's freedom? How is freedom racist? I'm sorry, I just don't get it. Some things my mind just can't process. And, hey, look, if liberals want to fight, I'll give them the whole damn war. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to stand up to them. I'm sick and tired of keeping my mouth shut and biting my tongue like I did for a long time. I did bite my tongue because being in the theater – you can't get away from being around liberals. And I was around liberals when I went to college, and I had a theater scholarship. And, of course, I was probably the only conservative in that entire frickin' school. And I had to keep my mouth shut, and I had to listen to this stuff for so many years. I had to grow up with it, with an uber-liberal household. Me and my two brothers are the only ones that escaped this crap. My whole family, they're nothing but teachers and labor unions and liberal, 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 liberal. And that's all I ever heard, and I never could adopt it. Because I hear what they say. And I see the reality of how it is in the actual world. And the two are completely different. They're not the same. I'm tired of being lied to. I'm just – that irritates me. That right there irritates me, of being lied to. That sends me off immediately.
Being lied to, and then also just the lack of sympathy for Justina, for example. How is it that people, adults, can just sit by and be like, well, the Boston Children's Hospital, they know what they're doing.
I don't know.
Because they're from Harvard. And that girl, yeah, she was doing well beforehand, and she was in a private school, and she was a competitive ice skater and all, but Boston Children knows more, and, well, she's in a wheelchair. Uh-huh. Well, maybe it's because of, you know, she's not in. Oh, well, that's health-wise. They're doing the right thing. We can trust them. I don't understand people who can look at this Justina situation and conclude that the state is right. So that blows my mind.
How can children be
abused by the state, and they just turn a blind eye. They turn a blind eye. Either they're ignorant and they just don't get it, or they just turn a blind eye. And everybody turns. Oh, good. Oh, there's a quote, and it says, "For evil to exist, is all good men just do nothing." So go ahead, guys, you know, do nothing. And guess what? Evil is going to control the country, and we're done. There is no, like you said, I mean, the Constitution has already been chipped away at so far. You know, are we really free anymore? I mean, do we, you know, we have some freedoms, I think, but the more you chip away at it, eventually it's just gone. And if you're a good man and you do nothing, you're part of the problem. Sorry.
Well, when I was
cruelty.
Well, when I was researching for my play on domestic violence, it started off as one thing, and then it just escalated into this. And I thought to myself, okay, if I'm gonna switch gears here, and I'm gonna go into domestic violence, I need to start doing a little bit more research. Well, I started to do research, and I read books. I went to the library, man. I was reading books. I was on websites. I was everywhere, and I started researching, and I started realizing that I actually witnessed more domestic violence than I actually thought. And then it more and more and more came on, and I had to incorporate that into the story. And more and more, like a lot of these social workers, they'll turn, like you say, a blind eye. Well, the problem is my theory in this, and this is what I put into the play, it's not so much that they're turning a blind eye. They see it, but they don't want to acknowledge it, because if they acknowledge that there's a problem, that means that they're going to have to get off the couch, put down that bag of Cheetos, turn off that stupid Kim Kardashian show, and actually go out and actually do something. And that's what they don't want to do. They don't want to get involved. So they tell themselves, oh, well, DCF knows better. Oh, the government knows better. They're just lying to themselves. They're not lying to anybody else. And the worst lie that you could ever possibly tell is the lie that you tell yourself. We all tell lies. We're humans. We all tell ourselves lies. But look deep
right
down inside. Just think about it. Every lie that you have ever told yourself and tried to convince yourself that you did not do this or you did this for a particular reason, and you know damn good well it's a lie, you've been burned every single time that you do it. You don't have to admit to anybody that you lied to yourself, but you have to admit it to yourself that you lied to yourself and try to fix it. And that's what I try to incorporate. This is what these people are doing. They're lying to themselves because they don't want to have to actually do something. They don't want to get involved. And that's the problem. That's lazy. And that's sick. That's not being part of the problem. That is being the problem. The problem on its own. And this is what irritates me, man. I mean, it just sends me – I don't have any more patience for this stuff. I don't. I have no more patience for this nonsense anymore. I don't.
Yeah, I feel the same way, Captain. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm so glad to meet you, too, and coming on your show. And I think you and I, you know, do have a lot, share a lot of things in common as far as our mindset on these issues. So it's really, and both of us have passion, a lot of passion. I like that. Some people come down on me a little bit, you know. You're too excitable. Well, you're too.
Oh, I get that all the time. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My mom's pretty bad.
And in a critical way, you know, like it's something wrong. Like I'm not supposed to be the way I am. But, you know, it's just my personality. And not everybody, I don't expect everybody to be as passionate as me, or I don't expect anybody to be me because they're not me. But, everybody has their own thing, their own personality and so on. But when you see that type of evil, particularly against children, and you do nothing, I mean, you don't have to do what I do or you do or Nancy does, but you can do something.
You got to do something.
And like you said, get off the couch, stop watching Kim Kardashian, you know, recognize that children are humans. You know, it's a respect for humanity, basically. It's a lack of respect for humanity. And I don't know if that's indoctrinated in the schools. I don't know how, you know, people sort of end up being so blind. But,
where did it come from, though? Where is this? I want to know where the nucleus of this. Now, I know liberalism has been around since before we even had the Constitution. Liberalism was around in our first Thanksgiving. Liberalism has always been around. It was around the Romans, for God's sake. Right.
Classic liberalism is very different than what the liberals are today also. Because classic liberalism is not pro-government. Liberals today...
But we get blamed for being anti-government. We're getting blamed for everything that they do. Anything, if you want to find out exactly what a liberal's up to, just listen to them blame you for whatever the hell they're blaming you for. That means they're guilty. It's the old adage of ye who smelt it, dealt it. And that's exactly what it is. They're going to point their finger and call you a racist and call you a homophobe and a misogynist and all these names so nobody can point me for it.
I was on a Facebook thread arguing with some liberals about Benghazi, you know, and they go into like a whole diatribe about George Bush. And the racism and, those other things. So I just got up on Facebook and I wrote, it's Bush's fault and I'm a racist.
Exactly.
I got 87 likes on it.
Well, a lot of these white people, they don't look at themselves as being white. They think that there's something else, so they love to come out and blame white people for being racist. Now, that white professor, what the hell was his name? He came out there, and the story was redacted and changed yesterday because I was going to talk about it, but on Sunday it was completely different, and they had written exactly all of his words that he said, and he said white people should kill themselves. All white males should kill themselves, and white females, and this guy's white, he's a professor, and he says white females can be bred out, but the white males can't. So white males need to start killing themselves because they're racist. And every time a white group gets together, the only thing they think about is race. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know what? If you want all the white people to start killing themselves, you need to start leading by example and start with yourself first. Here's a gun. Knock yourself out. I'll buy the bullets. I'll buy the gun. I'll buy everything you need. Whatever it is, you do yourself first. But for these people to blame that all white people are and what I talked about earlier, when you hear about all white people, they killed all the red men. Well, it was the Spanish that killed a hell of a lot more red men than the white man did. When they came over here, how do you think they took over Mexico? How do you think the Spanish took over South America, Central America, and parts of North America? How do you think they did it? Well, they wiped out the entire Aztecs. They wiped out every indigenous tribe from Mexico all the way up to Canada and even Central America and South America. They didn't get that land there on their own. They just walked in there. There was nobody there. They had to kill them. And that's exactly what they did. And they came into Arizona and New Mexico and California and Texas.
In Mexico. That's
and
right.
They killed all these indigenous tribes.
Into Canada. That's correct.
And they come over here into this country. We can't wave an American flag, but they can come over here and wave their flag and say this is actually a Mexico land. Well, no, it's not Mexico land. Your land is in Spain.
Yeah, right.
So
that's right.
That just irritates the living hell out of me. And I mean, for waving, I mean, American flag, I mean, how innocuous can you possibly be? If the teachers actually knew, this is another problem. Teachers can't educate if they haven't been educated themselves. How the hell are they going to teach history when they don't even know history? They have no concept of what history is. They have no concept of our culture.
And then they're teaching from the Common Core. If Common Core is instituted in the school, well, they're teaching from the Common Core nationwide. See, this doesn't make any sense at all, Common Core. And it's just an easy reason because what's good for Brooklyn is not good for Des Moines, Iowa.
Exactly.
For Texas might not be so right for California. So what's best for education is local. The parents, the teachers, you decide what your curriculum is. Because
the government needs to stay out of the education.
It's not little of Iowa. Maybe those kids need some lessons on farming,
Right.
I don't know. Maybe in smack middle of Brooklyn, maybe those people need some lessons on self-defense.
Exactly.
In other words, people are different in different places. And the only people, the only persons who should be responsible are the persons who are actually there, who actually had an idea, you know, whether it's a local city council, school board, whatever it is, because then you, as a citizen, well, you have a right to join your school, you know, to participate, to attend school board meetings. In other words, you, there's some redress there. You can't redress Common Core. That's your UN developed. So I now have to fight international forces to change the education system in my kid's school. Instead of
this all comes from this Common Core comes from.
He just says, "Hey, I think this is a good idea. What do you think?" I can't even do that. Oh no, because we have to use the nationwide program Common Core. What the heck is in Common Core? Well, they say that the Second Amendment was created for just, you know, certain guns and
they had
and,
to be registered
it's not really
with
a
the right.
You know, something to that effect, like outrageous.
Yeah, I remember
outrageous.
That stuff. I see that. Yeah. Yeah, they don't understand. They none of that. All these people. If you ever listen to a person, and every time that I get one of my liberal friends starts talking about the Second Amendment, I ask them, and I give them a hint. I tell them, I say, look, you tell me why the Second Amendment is actually in the Constitution, and I'll let you continue with this conversation. And I'll do you one better. I'll give you a hint. The Second Amendment tells you why the Second Amendment is in the Constitution. It's right there, and they still can't tell you why the Second Amendment's in the Constitution. They think it has to do with hunting. They have no concept. And then when they say self-defense, and I say, well, in a roundabout way, yeah, it is self-defense. It has nothing to do with home intruding because you can knock somebody out with a shovel or throw a stick at them. You can defend them anywhere else. They have no concept of why the Second Amendment's in the Constitution because they've never been taught. The only thing they know is a gun kills people.
And you can look at any of the founding fathers and just the writings at the time or when they talk about the Second Amendment and are discussing the Second Amendment. It's all about against tyranny. I mean, it's clear as day.
That's the whole purpose of the Constitution.
Infringe. You know, shall not infringe. I mean, you just, how do you, but they find a way to get around our rights because it's a control issue. Obviously, you take the guns away, you're done as a citizenry because the government can just come and kill you just like they did to the Jews in Germany. Well, they disarm them first. Because sooner or later, what happens is, well, you hear, oh shoot, my neighbor down the block got killed by the officers. Well, next time they come in my house, I got my gun. You're gonna shoot them. You're gonna kill those bastards because you know they're coming to get you. Well, of course they had to disarm the Jews first.
Right. That was one of the first things
exactly
that Hitler did was disarm the citizens. That was that's the
yes,
first thing.
You have to disarm the citizenry if you want full dictatorship, and yeah. And there are forces out there in our country who want that, and it's, you know, we have to, and if we don't keep defending it,
well,
we're just going to dissolve. America is going to dissolve. It's so big and bad and corrupt. And that doesn't mean I don't want to fly my flag.
No, it just means you want to fix it.
I'm the first person to redress my government because I think they're doing bad things. But don't tell me I can't fly my flag in the country that I was born.
Right, exactly. And I talk about this all the time, and I hate to talk about it, but I'm just one of these guys. I do see things. I do understand certain psychologies. I understand the psychology. Again, I didn't invent the human being. I just know how they work. And you can only push people so far and for so long, and eventually they rise up, and they're going to start pushing back. And that's exactly what's going to happen. These liberals have no concept what they're doing. They're going to be pushing these people so far. They're going to push the wrong person or the wrong group, and it's going to ignite. And once it ignites, boom, it's going to catch off like a wildfire. And I'm trying to avoid a very, very costly, very bloody, and very nasty, and very cruel and vicious civil war that we do not need, cannot afford. But it is coming. Unless they do a complete 180 and stop pushing us, we're not going to have any choice. It's going to start by one person or one group, and it's just going to explode. And it's going to go, it might even turn into a world war. I think what we're having here is we're having this whole new world order. That's where Common Core comes from.
Yeah,
book,
I know.
From UN, the Agenda 21,
yeah.
New World Order. Well, that's where this is all coming from. And there is half the planet wants it and half the other planet doesn't. And I think eventually it's going to be, there's going to be so much pressure there. Something's about to give and something's going to blow. And we don't need to go down that road. All people have to do is just simply, if you want to be a tyrant within yourself. You have to control yourself. You don't control anybody. Your parents can't control you. You can't control your children. You can't control anybody but yourself. And if you don't have yourself under control, well then you're out of control. That's exactly what we have.
Captain, I'm gonna have to sign out. I'd like to just sign out now because I have that conference call coming up, and I just want to do a little prep work.
Well, yeah, definitely let me know how that goes. I like your, I loved your thing, the Captain's Angels. I love that, by the way. I love that, by the way. That was great. Definitely call back and let me know how that actually works out.
I will. And then maybe I'll come back on Friday because my second Benghazi article will be out.
Okay, that's great. I'm always ready to talk about Benghazi.
And probably another Justina by Friday, too.
That's fine. I'm always ready to talk about her, too. I'm going to talk about all this stuff. All this stuff is important. So, all righty. Thank you very much, Raquel.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. That was a great call. I thought it was only going to be about 10 minutes, 5 minutes, but ended up being almost 2 hours. We've got about 15 minutes left. First of all, I want to thank everybody for in the chat room here. Let me go down here. I know Vito was in there for a little while. I think my first mate was in there for a while. Borp is in there. Looks like we got another guest. I want to thank you for listening, putting up with me. I know I blow up all the time, but I can't help it. I'm not going to apologize. I'm unapologetic. Enough is enough is enough is enough is enough is enough is enough. These stupid cockamamie civil conversations get us nowhere. They want you to be civil so they can just bully you with their ignorance. Well, you can't bully me with your ignorance. I do not comply with that, and I will not comply with that. Flat refuse. I am one of those. I flat refuse to do that. Now, here's some stuff here now. See, this is what parents, you need to pay attention to this. This is what your kids are no longer allowed to speak in school. You can't mention slavery. Can't mention slavery. You can't mention the word war or bloodshed. Well, if you can't mention war and you can't mention slavery, how the hell are you going to talk about the Civil War? Civil War was fought over slavery, right? Well, last time I checked. But maybe I read the wrong history book. It could have been possible. I could have picked the wrong book. I could have read the wrong book, so it is possible. But you can't mention gun. You can't mention the word gun or knife or any other weapon. Well, what about a spoon? I can kill you with a spoon. I can jam it in your neck. I can take my keys. I can jam a key into your neck. Your jugular vein will be slit, and there's no way for you to survive. You'll be dead in less than a minute. So I can't mention key now? How about if I choke you with my hand? That's a weapon. I can't mention hand. What do we do? Do we got to cut our hands off now? Is that what we have to do? I mean, this is nonsense. Look, these words, if you're the teacher, and again, getting back to these teachers not knowing, how can they possibly educate a student when they're not educated themselves? Maybe take the time to educate your child, educate your student on these words so they fully understand what these words really mean. Well, how can you do it when you yourself don't know what the hell they mean? You can't! You can't mention birthday celebrations and birthdays. I don't like birthdays. I never did. Even when I was a kid, I didn't care about no stupid birthday party. I still don't. I hate birthdays, but I'm not afraid to say birthday, nor am I offended when I hear about the word birthday, nor am I offended or afraid to go to one of my friends' birthday celebrations. I don't understand why that is now you're not allowed to speak these words. Now, this is coming from New York. The New York school's chancellor, his name is Dennis Walcott. He's a creep. Said that the Department of Education isn't an outlier, really? And not being PC in the banning of words that schools all across America do. Exactly, that's the problem. All schools across America are doing this. Don't you understand, Mr. Walcott? That's the goddamn problem. you can't mention bodily functions. So I guess you can't say fart. How about cancer? You can't say cancer. You can't say catastrophes or disasters. You can't talk about tidal waves. You can't talk about hurricanes. You can't mention the word hurricane. Well, how are they going to blame Bush for Hurricane Katrina if they can't mention the word hurricane? What the hell are they going to do? Oh, that big windstorm? Celebrities. You can't mention celebrities. You can't mention any celebrities. Children dealing with serious issues or problems. Cigarettes. You can't mention the word cigarettes. Computers in the home. But it's acceptable if you're in a school or library setting. But you can't talk about a home computer. But you can talk about the school computer. Why that is, I don't know. You can't mention the word crime. You can't mention the word death. You can't mention the word disease or divorce or evolution. Well, how are these kids going to learn anything? You can't talk about expensive gifts or vacations and prizes. So if a kid goes to Disneyland and comes back and says, hey, man, I had a really great time at Disneyland. It was a great vacation. Now the kid has to be thrown out of school because he talked about the vacation to Disneyland? Gambling involving money. Halloween. You can't mention Halloween. You can't mention the word Halloween. Or candy. You can't mention anything about junk food. Not even junk food. No, chips. Well, what is junk food? Well, tofu to me is junk food. But according to them, it's not. Nuclear weapons. Can't say that. Or loss of employment. You can't talk about loss of employment. So I guess the teachers can't teach the students that this president now has a, 35, 40% unemployment rate? 91.5 million people are out of work? You do the math. Talk about the occult. Politics. Can't mention the word politics. Or poverty. Can't mention the word religion. Running away. Sex. Terrorism. You can't mention terrorism. So then again, how are we supposed to educate our students on what happened in 9/11? You can't mention the word television or video games. My God. What can these kids do? What can a child do in school? Well, I guess you can wave the Mexican flag. I guess you can do that. But you can't say anything. And if you wave an American flag, well, then you're a hater. You're a racist. You need to be kicked out of school, you little creep. How dare you wave that American flag, you racist little bastard. I'm going to take care of you. Yeah, I'm going to call your mom and dad. Yeah. Shut up, idiot. Now, one other story here before we get going here and turn the ship around and head back to port, which I could stay out to sea all day long. Forced unionization. Imagine that. You've got a child. Let's say he's an adult child, but he's got special needs, and he's getting Medicaid, and you're taking care of this child of yours who happens to be an adult, and you are an adult, a mother. Well, since they got Medicaid, unions now want to force these parents who are taking care of their children, who happen to be adults, but have special needs and they can't take care of themselves. Isn't that part of nature that human beings take care of their children? Isn't that part of nature? Isn't that what we do? Animals do it. Humans do it. We all do it. They want you to join the union. You have to join the union. They've got unions knocking on these people's doors because they're getting Medicaid. And they're taking care of their child who happens to be an adult that can't take care of himself. They are trying to force them into a union. Now, look, if you want to join the union, that's your business. Knock yourself out. You shouldn't be forced to sign any kind of union for any job. Why should you be forced to join a club or a group that you don't believe in, don't like? But if you do like them and you do believe in them, you have the right to join them. There's nothing wrong with that. No one's trying to stop you from joining the union. They're just trying to stop people from being forced to join the union. Well, imagine that. Let's say you're taking care of your child. Happens to be an adult. Got special needs. It could be, you know, very severely mentally retarded, or you could have something else, whatever. And you got these people knocking on your door for trying to force you to sign a union contract. So this woman has to pay these people so she can take care of her own kid. Now, if she wants to pay somebody else to take care of the child or the adult child, that's fine. But why should you have to pay somebody else just for the right to take care of your own child? Think about that for a minute. Does that make any sense to anybody? Hell frickin' no, it don't make any sense. But they're doing it, and they're getting away with it. Why? Because we don't have an attorney general. We don't have a president. And we don't have a citizenry that will stand up and say, knock it off. Well, this lady's fighting. And she's now the lead plaintiff in a key Supreme Court case. Something tells me that the Supreme Court is going to lose. I think she's in Chicago, so she stands a really, really good chance of losing. Imagine that you have to pay somebody to take care of your own child. That is pathetic. What do these people get by joining a union? What could they possibly get? What would be the benefits of this woman joining a union so she could take care of her child who happens to be an adult that can't take care of himself? Well, here's what you get. You get protection from the union thugs so they no longer intimidate her, knock on her door. They no longer put a car bomb. They no longer set her house on fire. They no longer attack her. That's what you get. They no longer harass her. Well, you also get protection from the government so they don't cut off her Medicaid. And don't think for one second that the government, if she doesn't want to sign this union contract, and if she doesn't, let's just say she loses this case and doesn't sign a union contract like she's supposed to do, don't think for one second that that government's not going to take away her Medicaid. Do not think for one second that that won't happen, because that's exactly what will happen. And that is absolutely ridiculous. So if you're one of these people out there that are taking care of your adult child, you need to stand up with this woman. You need to fight. Even if you don't have a child. I don't have a child, but I stand up with this woman and I fight. I support you. I support this woman. Good for her. I hope she fights it all the way. Maybe if we had a decent judicial system, maybe she might win. All right, one more thing before we go. This is real quick. Jesse Jackson Jr., you remember him. Well, of course you do. Well, you know what he did. He was illegally spending money for campaign money. He's done a lot of other things that were very criminal. But we can't find out about it because he's black and we don't want to embarrass him. His dad is Jesse Jackson. The biggest racist, biggest creep that we have in this country, next to Al Sharpton. Well, he is getting now. Get this. If you're sitting down, if you're not sitting down, you might want to sit down. Jesse Jackson Jr., who's in prison, is now getting $8,700 a month, $8,700 a month. In disability pay. Well, this lady that's taking care of her adult child, do you think she's getting $8,700 from Medicaid? I don't think so. Not even close. She might be getting $1,200, maybe $2,000 tops, but she's not getting $8,700. Why would Jesse Jackson Jr. need to get $8,700 a month of your money? Your money. You're paying this son of a bitch $8,700 a month for disability pay because he has what he calls a mood disorder. This gives me a mood disorder. How come nobody's giving me $8,700 a month? I want $8,700 a month from the government because I've got a goddamn mood disorder. Thanks to you people gave me this goddamn disorder. So pay me my $8,700 a month. The hell? This guy, first of all, doesn't need any money, period. He doesn't need any money from the government. Not only is he getting $8,700 a month from your money, because he's got a little mood disorder, but he's also getting a pension of $45,000. Imagine that. Well, we just got the cue to get the hell out of here before it cuts us off. So again, I want to thank everybody that was listening here today, everybody that was on their smartphones listening, and everybody that's going to download. And I want to thank Raquel for calling in today, and we will see you back here tomorrow morning at 10. Goodbye, everybody! You feel that?